Genesis chapter 45, reading from verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Chapter 46. Verse 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. A well-known verse in the book of Job chapter 19. Reading from verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my veins be consumed within me. In the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. With the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Finally, beloved, a verse which we have read already today in the book of Revelation. Thank you. first chapter of the Revelation. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. With the Lord's gracious help, beloved brethren, I desire to engage your heart and mind just for a few moments with this wonderful fact that Jesus is alive. You say, oh yes, this is something that we all accept and believe. But I believe, beloved, that the Spirit of God would bring this glorious truth home afresh to our hearts. In living power, Jesus lives. That is why we are here today. The very fact that the Spirit of God is free to attract your heart and mind to the person of a living, ascended, glorified Christ is why we are here. We sang this afternoon, O Lord, thy glory we behold, though not with mortal eye, that glory on the Father's throne no human sight describes. This evening, still the Spirit is revealing heights of glory that thou hast given, and our eyes by faith are seeing Christ at thy right hand in heaven. Oh, my fellow believer, is Jesus in the glory a living reality to your soul and mind? This is what encourages the people of God in a dark and difficult day. We look around and there is much to discourage and to almost drive the soul to despair. But what a moment it is when we turn the eyes heavenward. These are words that you will find in the book of Genesis more than once. And he lifted up his eyes. Abraham, the father of the faithful, that man of God, who rejoiced to see the day in which you and I live. My Saviour's day, your Saviour's day. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. But repeatedly in that man's life, we have this expression, and he lifted up his eyes. Yes. I think of another moment in the life of the blessed Lord himself, recorded for us in John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Oh, beloved, he was going back to the glory. He was going back to the Father by way of the cross. But he took account of all that would intervene in the time of his absence. And think of that wonderful prayer, the result of which you and I are being kept in an evil day. I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou wouldest keep them from the evil. And oh, beloved, a moment like this is an evidence to my soul of the wonderful preserving care of God in an evil day. He gathers you and I together to engage our hearts and minds no less a person than his beloved Son, now risen from the dead, ascended and glorified at God's right hand in heaven. Strange it is that many of God's people are unmoved by this glorious truth. We are all a little bit like Jacob, you know. We simply can't believe it. We are not prepared to lay hold upon it. We are not prepared to rejoice in the truth that Jesus lived. Oh, it meant a lot to Jacob, you know. For years, Joseph had been accounted dead. The old patriarch had mourned the loss of his beloved son, the son of his delight. Oh, beloved, how it moves my heart as I see the care that the Spirit of God exercises in these verses, first of all to refer to this man as Jacob, and then in the last verse, and Israel said, it is enough. Oh, what a wonderful contrast. This is the evidence of the operation of the Spirit of God. Here was a man who had had dealings with God, who had his name changed, you remember, from Jacob to Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and hast prevailed. But he is introduced to us in these verses which I read, first of all, as Jacob. They came and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. Wonderful picture of the position, the present position of the Lord Jesus Christ, exalted and glorified, the administrator of all the blessing of God. Beautiful picture, Joseph, the man who knew what it was to be found in the pit and in the prison, to be despised and rejected by his brethren. Yes, the one who was separated from his brethren. The archers shot at him and sorely grieved him. But the arms of his hands were made strong by the mighty God of Jacob. He triumphed. He's brought to the pinnacle of power and glory. Beloved, this is what has engaged our heart already today, is it not? Christ, in that position of power and glory and supremacy, Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed not. Oh, the astonishing truth that Joseph is Lord over all the land of Egypt. And they told him all the words of Joseph. Emphasis has been laid already this afternoon upon the vital importance of this blessed book. All the words of Joseph. Oh, beloved, we cannot overemphasize acquaintance with the Word of God. This is the only agent that the Spirit of God is free to use to direct your heart and mind into occupation with Christ. This is the only agent that the Spirit of God is free to use to emancipate your soul and mind from the trammels of this sad earth. All the more we are engaged with the living Word of God and the living Christ of God, the more we'll be liberated from this sinful world. The greater will be our freedom to tread in patience the path of faith, to run the race that is set before us, looking up unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Oh, beloved, Joseph is yet alive, the man who endured the cross, the man who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. For a moment in Jacob's history, when he realizes that Joseph is yet alive and is governor over all the land of Egypt. Unlimited power, unlimited glory rests upon the Son of his love. Beloved, it isn't difficult, is it, to transfer your thoughts and mind to the man of whom this speaks. It is Jesus. It is Jesus fills that holy place where glory dwells, and thy deep love in its own fullness, known through grace, rests where he lives in heaven above. Turn your eyes heavenward, my beloved brethren. Joseph is yet alive. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son is yet alive, and I will go to see him. Oh, beloved, when this lays hold upon the soul with power, there's nothing else can hold it. I will go to see him. Faith strengthened, his soul revived. He has one object in view now. It is to go and see Joseph. There was something else that the Spirit of God would draw our attention to here. There was something else that motivated him. What was it? The sight of those wagons. Oh, beloved, Jesus has brought to you and I all the blessing of God. He is freighted with the blessing of heaven. You want some evidence of who he is? Look through the gospel. See the manifestation of the grace of God in all that he says and does. Is it not a proof to your soul and mind of who he is, his work, and the wagon? Ah, they combine to lift Jacob out of his unbelief, to get him over his fainting spirit, and to set his feet on the road to see Joseph. Well, beloved, I believe that such a time as this, when you and I are privileged to taste something of the immensity of the blessing of God, in this the Spirit's day, through the living Word of God, I believe these things are calculated to move our hearts and our feet in that direction to meet the Savior. Jacob, a man whose name once meant supplanter, the deceiver, a worm of a man. Jacob tells us something, does it not, of the depth to which God's mercy has reached down to each one of us. Israel, a man who had an encounter with God and prevailed as a prince with God, tells us something of the height to which divine love and grace has elevated each one of us in Christ. Beloved, we've been taken out of the Jacob condition into the Israel condition through association with Jesus. Now, we come to a very touching verse. A verse that never fails to move my heart, beloved, and would touch the depths of our heart's affection and emotion. I'm often moved, beloved, as I read scriptures that refer to these scenes that are really indescribable by any word of man. Tears, tears of joy. We've spoken today of repentance. I often think of the words recorded in Luke 7, How little is spoken in that scene, and yet how eloquently it speaks to our souls of all that was affected, as we see a woman pouring out her heart in repentance and contrition at the feet of the Saviour. Who can describe that scene? How precious were those tears to Jesus as she washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. An indescribable scene. We've thought already of two men of whom it is recorded that they wept and embraced one another until David expired. David and Jonathan. His love to me was wonderful. But oh, beloved, David expired. We thought of the precious, precious love of Jesus, a love that exceeds all other loves. But it was a scene of deep emotion. It was a scene of tears, of inexpressible emotion. And oh, beloved, I draw your attention now to this verse. And Joseph, you see the other side of the story. You see how it gratifies the heart of the Saviour when there is a response in your heart and mine. How ready is his love? Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, Israel, his father, to Goshen, and prepared himself, beloved, I underline that word, and prepared himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept a good while. Oh, beloved, I leave this little thought with you. Joseph is the man who previously again had wept on the neck of his brethren as they were reconciled to him, you remember? Cause every man to go out from me. While Joseph made himself known to his brethren, these things, I believe, are pictures, figures, that the Spirit of God would give you and I of that wonderful truth that Jesus lived and that you and I are soon going to meet him. I think of the words of that beautiful hymn, drawn by such chords, we onward move, till round the throne we meet, and captive in the chains of love, embrace our Saviour. What a moment it will be. He wept on his neck a good while. Unlimited joy. Beloved, these were tears of joy. Whom not having seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, unspeakable joy, and full of the glory. We're going on to see the Saviour. We're going on to meet him. Beloved, we well know it, but I wonder, are we all in the mood of it? That's my simple exercise tonight, in directing our hearts. I believe the Spirit of God would direct our hearts to these wonderful scriptures. Think again briefly, just for a moment, of that scripture that I read in Job chapter 19, so well known to us. I just draw your attention to this. Here was a man who in his day had a very limited revelation of God compared with the revelation that you and I have in Jesus Christ. But oh, beloved, God is able in every day and in every generation to reveal himself to the souls of men. And he revealed himself to Job to this wonderful extent that Job says, oh, that my words were now written, that they were graven in the rock with an iron pen and lead forever. Why is it that Job wants to leave on everlasting record this of which he's going to speak. I tell you why. It is because it is of such vital importance. No, beloved, God has seen to it that these words have been recorded in a book of which he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Job's thoughts were limited to the most abiding thing he could think of in this world, an inscription in the rock filled with lead, writing of an abiding character. God has seen to it. They've been put into a book that will never be destroyed, for you and for me. Then you and I, in this dark day of the church's history here upon earth, might we take recourse to the word of God, find the comfort that is to be found in the scriptures. What comfort? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, beloved, let us lay hold upon it. Beloved young brother and sister, does it not thrill your heart as you hear these words again? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Just one little further touch. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Oh, beloved Joseph, is yet alive, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. He's just the same Jesus. The blessed man who walked through this world, the revelation of God to the souls of men like yours and mine. Now, in the glory of God, he's just the same Jesus. And we are going to see him, beloved. Not as this world last saw him on yon center cross at Calvary. We are going to see him as he is. All the glory of God resting upon him. Beautiful hymn that we sang this afternoon. Jesus, thou alone art worthy. Ceaseless praises to receive, for thy love, thy grace, thy goodness, rise o'er all our thoughts conceive. Yes, and I read to you the words of the fourth of First Thessalonians, a scripture well known to us. The mention was made this afternoon of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where we have a similar passage, where the Spirit of God unfolds in wonderful language the glorious truth of resurrection, calculated, beloved, to stimulate you and I in testimony and in service for the Lord in this world. Will you remember the conclusion, or actually I believe the beginning of the next chapter? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But what about this scripture? Ah, beloved, I always feel that this scripture is a scripture that comes home to our heart. Doctrine is a good thing, but oh, how blessed it is to lay hold upon the comfort of the scripture. And this scripture, above all others, the Spirit of God would use to comfort your heart and mind as we pass through this valley of the shadow of death. I was struck recently, as together with others of our local assembly, he laid to rest the body of a beloved brother, his dear wife, who for 5 years now has been totally incapacitated, even to the extent of being unable to speak, cannot communicate. Yet she made it known to us that she would like to have read at his funeral service the 23rd Psalm. And upon hearing that, there was one verse in that psalm stood out like a golden gem. Yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And oh, beloved, one's heart was led to this scripture that we have read tonight. But what moves my heart in this particular scripture is where I commenced to read. If we believe, oh, it is absolutely dependent upon that. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We've spoken already today of the sound of the trumpet, the summoning sound of the trumpet. We've heard already today of something of the voice of the Savior. Oh, beloved, the moment is soon coming when we are going to hear that voice, well known to us in present grace. It causes our hearts to rejoice every time we hear its faintest whisper. We are going to hear it in mighty summoning power when he calls his own away out of this world to be with himself. When, beloved, you and I, like Jacob of old, we meet him, we meet the Lord himself. Need I emphasize these well-known words? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, Joseph himself, he made himself ready, and he went to meet Israel. Just a little picture, beloved, of what is going to transpire here when the Savior comes. And what a joy it is to my soul to think that this might be tonight. Who knows? Jesus is alive, and Jesus is coming again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Wonderful detail the Spirit of God will give us, and the dead in Christ. Constantly you and I are called to witness the passing of one and another. Oh, beloved, what an immense difference when we lay to rest one whom we know to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing I did before I came to this meeting was to visit a man whose wife had died. I visited him because of a long acquaintance with him. But oh, how difficult to say anything. She got up in the morning. She complained of feeling unwell, and before he could reach her, she fell dead. Ah, beloved, how one wished that I could say something definite as to where she was, but I couldn't. And I'm not prepared to speak about something that I don't know. I could only sympathize. But what a difference, I say, for you and I who know the thing. We sorrow not as others which have no hope. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Yes, comfort through all this veil of tears, in blessed profusion flow, and glory of unnumbered years, eternity bestow. And if there's any doubt remains in any heart, let me remind you of the words that we've read and spoken of today. The voice of Jesus himself. I am he that liveth and became dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and the keys of hell and of death. Beloved, he will relegate those keys to no man beholds them. I know that my Redeemer liveth, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Blessed be his precious, adorable name.